Morning, everyone. As was announced, today is a different service. Once annually, the elders make a presentation to the congregation, and there will also be a short lesson to follow as well that Kyle will bring to us, along and in coordination with thoughts that we have been working on. It is wonderful to see you all, and we will try to move through what we have for you rather briskly. Okay, very good, thank you. So what Patrick and Jeff and I will be discussing with you very briefly will be overview is going to be the highlights of some of the things that have happened in 2020, some of the our finances as well. We want to we intend to be very transparent and share knowledge with the whole congregation about where we are, what we're doing, what we are working to accomplish. And then we will also spend some time talking on the focus that we will have here in 2021. To begin, the obvious. 2020 was different. And it ended up being very hard, as you all know. In response to 2020, and COVID-19, or in response to COVID-19 that developed this last year, we did have a revised schedule. We did not meet for some time throughout April. We are under a revised meeting and assembly schedule, as you are all aware. And for the first time, at least in my lifetime, we saw in this nation some governmental restrictions in different places on religious assemblies. It didn't happen in Texas. It didn't happen to us. There weren't government restrictions on us. But it did begin to happen in some places of our country. And it begins to bring the question, what are Christians to do? Well, we're given some very clear instruction. We see in Romans 13, every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. In verse 5, we see, therefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. We know that God is involved in our daily lives, and He is involved in our government. But we also see in Acts when the apostles were instructed by the Jewish leaders of the day to not preach and not teach as they were instructed to do. We read in Acts chapter 5, verse 28, there the Jewish leaders speaking to the apostles, they said, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." And every day, in verse 42, continuing on there, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Our ultimate responsibility is to be Christians and to be God-pleasing. In the next few moments, I would like to show you some things that are regulations, governor's orders as it dealt with living in the state of Texas, 2020 and 2021. Some things and some reasons that we have done some of the things that we have and some of the reasons that we have not done some of the things we've not done. As COVID began to grow in March, we decided to cease assembling for a temporary period, and we did not meet in April. Kyle brought lessons via live stream during that time. issued March 31st, Executive Order GA-14 relating to statewide continuity of essential services and activities during COVID-19. We see that statement was made, if religious services cannot be conducted from home or through remote services, they should be conducted consistent with the guidelines of the President and CDC by practicing good hygiene, environmental cleanliness, sanitation, and by implementing social distancing to prevent the spread of COVID-19. April 17th, once again, while we were still not meeting, guidance for houses of worship during COVID-19, once again from the governor as well as Texas State Attorney General. When state or local governments issue orders prohibiting people from providing or obtaining certain services, they must ensure that these orders do not violate these constitutional and statutory rights. Local governments may not order houses of worship to close. And that did not happen here. But I bring this up partially. Thank God, once again, for the Constitution that we have, the freedoms that we enjoy in this nation, and pray that they will continue. We began meeting again in May. We instituted increased spacing, decreased seating in this auditorium. We have an additional classroom in the back that has a television that is a live feed from here. An additional room if we need to continue to distance further. We have the opportunities, have the abilities even within the building. And before, I need to go back. And masks have from day one been a topic of disagreement among some. Relating to the use of face coverings during the COVID-19 disaster, showing this as we have definitely taken into consideration many things in making decisions we have. That executive order reads, every person in Texas shall wear a face covering over the nose and mouth when inside a commercial entity or other building or space open to the public, or when in an outdoor public space where it is not feasible to maintain 6 feet of social distancing from another person not in the same household, provided, however, that this face covering does not apply to the following. Any person younger than 10 years of age. The second is any person with a medical condition or disability that prevents wearing a face covering. And we have those. Point number 9 of that executive order. Any person who is actively providing or obtaining access to religious worship but wearing a face covering is strongly encouraged. So it was not required, but was, by the governor, encouraged. We have faced questions about this, whether or not we are attempting to follow state guidelines. And by the letter of what has been said, I believe that we are. We ask all for consideration when discussing, when considering this subject. It's not required, but for those who choose to wear a mask, we ask for consideration of those who are not and how they interact with them, distance that they give them. When we are in close proximity, I wear a mask primarily because I know that others are concerned. GA 32, issued October 7th. Every business establishment in Texas shall operate at no more than 75% of total listed occupancy of the establishment. However, does not apply to religious services, including those conducted in churches, congregations, and houses of worship. We realize that the virus is real, as we have all been touched by it. We're going to primarily ask the same thing that we asked back in March. If you're sick, or think that you're sick, stay home. until you're well. If you have a high risk factor, which would complicate your health, if you get it, for a period of time, we understand, if you stay home, it will remain your own best judgment. But let's all remember, Christians are supposed to be servants, workers, fearless, faithful, dedicated, and actively serving. If we were to consider throughout 2020 our membership, if we were to look at and consider members of this congregation, and in that I'm specifically for this calculation, we are excluding young children, not been baptized, the average would be 124 for 2020. This is a chart that we have used throughout the years. Obviously, we see that when we consider Bible class and second worship, that only includes data, obviously, from January, February, and part of March. But we see that numbers are down. So I mentioned if we were to consider members, excluding children, that would be 124. Our average attendance for Sunday worship service in 2020 was 98. If we look at the first 3 months of the year, we'll see that if we look at back to that number of, which once again changed by month, the individual members, and this is normalized back month by month, in January, February, and March, approximately a third of our members did not attend or were absent. There are reasons why we cannot attend for some period of time or on individual times. We understand that, and that will continue to be reality. If we consider the last 3 months of the year, that number grew closer to two-thirds of our members did not attend. When we consider the debate we held in July, now debate is not something that we're typically accustomed to. And I heard some discussions of those that attended or initially attended of being very disheartened by the nature of arguing about the truth. Some may have the opinion that an argument or a debate is not for them. But truth in its defense is for every mature Christian. One thing we must do is defend truth, continue to study, and oppose error when we encounter it. Do we have plans for more debates at this point? Not today, but perhaps. We hosted the debate for the benefit of all to learn. I know that 2020 was the COVID-19 year. But we want to ask you today, how much absence is too much? That's to be decided by each individual member. So how many times should you assemble to worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ? The elders will have some questions to ask throughout the year. And we ask that you consider and give honest thought to honest questions that are asked. My final thoughts. Earlier in the year, I saw a meme, a little saying someone had put. And it said, the problem with missing church is soon you don't miss it. Possible. I hope that's not the case. I recall when I was young, I heard an older preacher make the statement, and the point of his lesson was, mankind is not designed to make it to heaven on his own. We need encouragement from one another. Sometimes we need nudges in one direction or another from one another. We weren't designed to make it to heaven alone. So when we consider this number again, in December, we had 63% less encouragement to the members who were here, 63% less relationship building, 63% less praising God together. Could be more. We're fed in many ways, but we can do that most effectively when we are together. Patrick?
As you can see, I'm going to cover the member information of 2020 and a few things that we look forward to in 2021. As I said earlier when I was making announcements, if there's one thing we've learned that COVID has taught us is that we're not in control. So we can make the best plans we can make adjustments, and that's what we're going to try to do, and we want to let you know where we would like to see, or you know, optimistically see where we're headed from here. Now, this year we've had 3 deaths of our members, and this is always hard to deal with. We had Sister Agnes Baca, Brother Phil Haynes Sr., and Sister Cindy Warren. Some of it has to do with COVID, some of it doesn't have to do with COVID, but we've lost 3 individuals that we're short of, and it hurts. We need to continue supporting each other and helping these families as best we can. As we go over with member information continually, every year we lose some people. In years past, we kind of threw up numbers and just said, we've lost this many, we've gained this many. We've got a few names, Michael Trevino and John and Brandy Hill. And the reason we feel like it's important that you know who they are is because the elders are not the only people that are responsible for these Christians also. If you know them and you have relationships with them, like we know some people will, we would like to, for you to know that they no longer want to be associated with us. But if you have the opportunity, you have the opportunity to encourage them, to talk to them. And we treat them as brothers and sisters. We do not treat them as combatants. Also, we had several move away this year. Leo and Alyssa Ramirez, they moved to Pampa. Farron and Jody Christian moved to Nacogdoches. Steve and Mevany Dixon moved to Knoxville, Tennessee. And John and Evan Lawrence have moved back to Paris, Texas. Another thing that we do not have any control over is people's lives and where they're living or where they're going. Excuse me. Hello. There they are. I'm sorry. This is neither bad nor good, but it is a number that we're losing. But on the other opposite side of that, we do have people that come. This last year, we have one family, Stephen and Catherine Mallory, who have joined us. And even at that, you know, that seems like a small number because usually we have several leave, we'll have several come in, but there's no control of this that any of us have. It's just something that comes and goes. Data is neither a judgment of anything nor an encouragement necessarily of anything. It's how we interpret that data. But as we look at that, hopefully maybe this year we'll have a few more. We have had several baptisms this year, and we're excited about that, and that's encouraging. Even through 2020 and COVID and the effects that we've had some baptisms here. Bailey Glover, Jacob Kendrick, Justice McAneer, Pearson Ferguson, Sean Craig, and Tripp Purcell. And we need to continue to encourage these folks and be an encouragement to them and realize we're examples to them. And as they grow, they will become examples to us and encouragements to us. I don't think that next one, yeah. 2021 focus. As I was saying, that we really don't have control. So this is the things that we're interested in seeing the congregation head towards. We would like, if at possible, things to get back to quote-unquote normal. Now, what is normal? If this last year has taught us anything, is normal changes. And we will continue to change with it. But what we hope we will be able to get back to is a normal, and we want to do it safely. As Brady went over, there's lots of things to consider when we talk about when we're going to meet, how are we going to meet, what are we going to do when we meet. And we're doing our best to try to consider everything, whether it's legal or whether it's safe or whether it's medical or whatever it is. And we have to realize, as Brady, I think, said very clearly, there are lots of people who feel totally different about COVID-19. Nobody suggests it doesn't exist. But we do have to understand there are a lot of people that are in great fear. There are a lot of people that have reasons to be in great fear. We do not need to condemn them in their judgments. We need to support them. We need to help them. We need to let them help us. And we can't do that if we're not in connection with them. Even if, though they're not here, does not mean we don't need to be talking to them. Call them. Send them a card. See what they're doing. See what's going on. See if there's anything we can help them with. We are to be servants. Hopefully what this new normal is going to be for us is we're going to get back to services on Sunday as we grew up and grew very content and habit-forming with it. We want to have two services here in the auditorium. We want to have Bible classes for all ages. Kyle has done a great job for us on Wednesday nights meeting in Bible class. There are several things that we have to consider for Bible classes is that children seem to be a whole lot safer from this virus than possibly adults do, but by the same token, they don't follow rules quite as well as adults do. So there are things we have to make decisions about, and we look at it with the idea that we are going to answer for those decisions. We hope the middle school, high school, college age monthly study will get back to going. It was really rolling well, and South Georgia youth were coming over, and things were going good. We hope to get that back. Also, we have in the past used what we called in-touch groups, and we are trying our best to figure out how we're going to get that going because people were creating relationships, people were getting together, people were doing things together, and we'd like to see that return. Now, how that's going to happen, when it's going to happen, we're not exactly sure, but it is on our list of things that we want to see. But also, this year, we want to concentrate on individual efforts towards bearing fruit for the Lord. I'm way ahead. And I have no control. There it is. I'm sorry. I was flying along. We kind of got short time, and I was wanting to get everything covered. That's what I've just been talking about. I'm at the very bottom point there. We hope to get back to bearing fruit for the Lord this year. This is our theme, and Kyle will talk about that, and hopefully we'll be talking about that all through the year. The things that we do have planned, good, it changed. We do have a gospel meeting in April. We're hopeful that this will follow through with Brother Jeff Trahan. We hope to have our summer Bible study this year. That's our focused Bible study for the kids, but also for adults in the evenings. We hope to have our annual congregational singing that we've had in the past that we had to cancel this last year. And also we have a fall gospel meeting with Shane Carrington of Sulphur Springs that's planned in the fall. So we'll see what happens. Please be patient with us. We'll try our best to communicate with you the best we can. And if you got any questions, guys, we are available at any time. You don't have to talk to all of us together. You can talk to us on an individual basis, and you don't have to come to the office. A lot of people don't like that. So please feel free to talk to us. Jeff?
We have a good number here this morning, and we're encouraged by that, and we're thankful that you're here. I've got the exciting part of finances. So, first of all, I want to thank this church for your support through these trying times, and a lot of things that we did, everything we did, we had in mind what's God's will and God's desire was, and what was best for this church. And we thank you for the support in that regard. As it concerns finances, first and foremost, we always keep in mind what God wants us to do with the funds that are collected here. We have authority, we seek authority, and if we don't find it, we don't use the funds that are collected here for that purpose. And that's in front of mind, and I think everyone should find comfort in knowing that is our desire and our intent. Where am I here? Contribution comparisons, down and dirty, it was way less this year than what was last year, about $27,529 a week. But I've had people ask me how we're doing. The contributions were down, but our expenses were down considerably more than our contributions. However, those cut in expenses were not necessarily good, because we didn't have our gospel meetings, we didn't have our summer Bible studies, so that contributed to part of that, but we had some other things that really helped us to cut our expenses. Building cleaning, we have the aunts that have taken that on, and they've had some other ladies in the church that have filled in when they've had to be gone, but that's a voluntary effort they've taken on. Our accounting, bookkeeping, if you will, we're not paying for that now. Sam is doing that. And while I'm talking about it, I want to go over the list of our deacons here in a minute. But people, you don't realize how much work that these deacons do. This live streaming and all this audio video, the repairs on the building, the improvements on the building, making sure that we have men to serve on Sunday mornings, and making up the list of men's assignments. I'm probably leaving a lot of things out, but gentlemen, thank you. Thank you, thank you. That is, some of those are really big items. So we'll see here. Let me back up. Can I back up? Can you back me up, Ben? There we go. You'll see there's an insurance claim on the house and the building. That was a roof. That went into the account but came right back out as we wrote that check to the roofing company. Our bank balance is up by $15,000. Again, that's the amount we saved over the amount that that's our contribution in excess of our expenses. Funds used to preach the gospel. We have these gentlemen, of course, Kyle. Kyle does an outstanding job. And Kyle does a lot of work on the IT stuff, the audio, video, and IT stuff. And we're getting our money's worth there, folks. He's an outstanding gospel preacher and does a lot of things around here. Javier Palomares and Dumas, Tim Stevens and Kemp, Richie Thedford, Derek Chambers, David Holbrook, and then Warren Schultz in South Africa. Total that we, for outside man for 2020, we see there was $20,150. We're going to increase that this year. Brother Palomares is losing some support, and people, his income is barely above the poverty line, and he does a great job up there in Dumas. We get good reports on his personal work. He goes out and in his reports, if you'll see him on the back, he lists the people that he's studying with, and he has a lot of success in that regard, and we're thankful that we can assist him. Here's a list of our deacons: Ben Height, Blake McAllister, Walker McInear, Sam Nunn, Lance Purcell, Justin Smiley, and Kevin Wise. Now Steve Dixon moved. He was a deacon, and we also had Ryan Ferguson that resigned, and we thank Ryan for the work that he did while he was a deacon, and we wish him well. Funds used to preach the gospel. As was mentioned before, we do plan on two gospel meetings this year. We had none this last year. We budget for 2020 was $4,000 a week, and our average was $3,500. We came in short. We were budgeting a contribution of $4,000 a week, which if you look at the average, $3,516, it looks like a reach. But as you've noticed here the last few weeks, our contributions have been up, and we need to continue to support the work here. If your member's here, that's not just a plea from old Jeff. That is a command from God, and we do a good job. And I'm not trying to say that we don't, but we as a church do a good job, and we need to continue to do that. So our expenses budget are $4,002. We have some improvements, several improvements at the preacher's house, and Kyle and Tony have been patient about that. Several improvements that need to be finished this year, and then we have some things here at the building that need to be fixed and repaired. So it's easy to budget for evangelism and supplies and materials, gospel meeting, summer Bible study, utilities. We don't know exactly what those items, a lot of those items are going to be, but we can budget pretty close. It's hard to budget for things like evangelism and repairs and maintenance on a building. Our building is older, and the house is older. And we need to make sure that we have funds available when we have breakdowns and et cetera. So again, I thank you for your support. I thank Kyle for your good work. And I thank my fellow elders. We work well together. It's not to say that we always agree 100%, but we can disagree without being disagreeable. And I thank you, gentlemen, for that. And I'll sit down, and I'll let Kyle give us a short message. So.